Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. And Arthur Brooks is on the line with us. He's the president of the American Enterprise Institute. And he has a new book out, The Road to Freedom. Arthur, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom. How are you?
Great to I'm fine. Great to have you back with us. In The Road to Freedom, you're creating a moral case for free enterprise. Isn't there a stronger moral case to be made for restraining or at least regulating free enterprise so that it operates to the benefit of the people rather than just a few?
Well, no. I mean, I think that there's a very strong case that we should start making for free enterprise per se. I think it would be a favor to your side if we did. I mean, as it's been over the past 25 or 30 years, the arguments that we've been having have been largely moral arguments from the left that have been matched by materialistic arguments from the right. And I think it's been really hard to sort out what the key issues are. I mean, I think you guys on the left would be much better served if you heard what was written on our hearts about what we think is so great about the free enterprise system.
I think it'd be better discourse. since Reagan introduced Reaganomics 30 years ago, we've seen the top 1% have a 570% increase in their income, whereas the bottom 80% have been not only flat but have fallen. We've seen average individual income in the United States almost cut in half. It's now $26,000 a year. Household income has been flat, but that's because you've got married people or multiple wage earners in a home. Reaganomics has really devastated the middle class, although it's done very, very well for the wealthy 1% who support your perspective. I don't see how that's a moral argument.
Well, there's a lot to be said for the moral argument for bringing everybody into a greater opportunity society. I mean, we hear a lot about the concerns that you have, and I understand your concerns, and everybody listening to us today who is disproportionately political progressives, they're really concerned about income inequality and the stuff that you talk about here. But you really hit on what we should be caring about. The real moral significance is not income inequality, it's actual mobility and opportunity for people at the bottom. That's what we need to be thinking about. What is the system that's going to enable that to happen the best?
Now, I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. And in fact, I can tell you from being an entrepreneur back in the 70s and the 80s when the first business I owned in 1973, we bought health insurance for all our employees at Blue Cross Blue Shield in Michigan, and my recollection is it was like $35 a person per month, for a good family plan, because back then the state of Michigan required all health insurance companies to be not-for-profit, required all hospitals to be not-for-profit. Given that one of the greatest barriers to mobility and certainly one of the greatest barriers to people quitting their job and becoming entrepreneurs like I did is that they're afraid that they may get sick and they may lose their health insurance. And now, once COBRA has expired, more than 100 million people have pre-existing conditions. That just kind of writes them out of the gene pool of possibilities to become entrepreneurs. Isn't the best thing to do to ensure that mobility that you're talking about to have a national healthcare system?
Well, look, you just conflated two things. Should we have portability? Should we have something that guards against people having pre-existing conditions being able to change their jobs? Oh, yeah.
How are you going to do that without government?
But what we're talking about is actually a system in which you have insurance reform, not the nationalization of the healthcare system. Look, if you want to see what insurance reform looks like that really does protect against pre-existing conditions and allows portability, go to AEI.org and you'll see how we think about that. And you know what, Tom? I bet you'd agree with 95% of the stuff that we're talking about.
Can you show me an example?
Tom, I think I agree with you on something that's huge. That you have the most important radio show on the left. And the thing I know that bugs you the most is corporate cronyism. It's a huge threat to liberty, and you're completely right. And that's the reason that a lot of these health insurance markets have gotten completely out of control. I mean, a lot of health insurers have completely captured state legislators. They're too much in the pocket.
Arthur, in my opinion, that's the consequence of the Supreme Court having come up with this doctrine back in the 1880s that they've amplified now to the point of hysteria that corporations are persons and that money is not property, it's actually speech, which is complete absurd nonsense. But back to this point, can you identify for me one country that has ever said, okay, we're not going to, and one developed country, one undeveloped country for that matter, that has said, the government's not going to involve itself in the healthcare market. We're just going to let the free enterprise take care of it, and it's been successful.
No, the government has to be involved in the provision of public goods. The question is whether or not it can leave the parts that are best left up to the markets, and we've never tried that. We've actually never tried to create conditions where health insurers really compete against each
other. Sure, we did.
As opposed to trying to capture the government.
We had unregulated health insurance in the United States for half the 20th century.
Yeah, the unregulated health insurance.
And it was a disaster.
Anybody listening to this recognizes the so-called unregulated health insurance markets are ones where you can't even trade a health insurance contract across state lines.
No, those are regulated. Those are ones where you actually have individual states who have insurance commissioners and they look out for the interests of the people in their states. I thought you guys on the right were concerned about states' rights.
Me? In New York State, I can't even get a catastrophic health care policy for less than thousands of dollars a year because the health insurance coverers, which who have captured the state legislators, say that they have to cover all kinds of crazy conditions that nobody even wants.
So you're going on record as being an opponent of states' rights.
I'm going on record as being an opponent of the laws passed under McCarran-Ferguson in the 40s, you know them better than I do, that say that you can't trade across states. We need actually health insurers to be able to...
You want the federal government to tell individual states that their insurance commissioners no longer have the power to regulate how insurance is handled in their states. You don't think that these things should be local. You think that they should be done from the White House.
I want real interstate commerce, and if we're going to have regulation on these things, we need to have uniform regulations, just as we have in trucking, just as we have in utilities.
Just as we have in credit cards?
So
I mean, really what you're talking about is the credit card model. We used to allow individual states to regulate credit card companies. Credit card companies got that knocked down in, what, the 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s? I'm not sure exactly when it was, but it was in the middle of the 20th century. And the consequence of that was that every state had different standards. The state with the lowest common denominator was North Dakota. All the credit card companies opened an office in North Dakota and said, this is where our headquarters are. These are the rules we have to comply with. And now you can get hit with a 30% interest rate on your credit card, which when Richard Nixon was president, he called usury and tried to send people to jail for.
Yeah, well, you know, in health insurance markets, what the government needs to do is to make sure that we have an insurability pool. Look, the key thing that we need to keep in mind in all of these ideas is what is the proper role for government? And this feeds into the broader conversation that we're having. You know, what is it that free enterprise advocates need to be able to say to make a truly moral case that can be that, so do you guys understand
I'm still listening
exactly
for
why we care about it? It's too easy for people on the left and right to caricature each other as sellouts and shills. You know, I work with a lot of people on left and right, especially a lot of people on the right. Let me tell you, they have honestly held moral views about freedom, opportunity, and free enterprise.
I don't disagree with that statement at all. I believe that they're wrong. I believe that you're wrong.
Of course,
I respect your right to hold those opinions and the fact that many of the people on the right actually do believe what they're saying. There are some, I think, on both sides who are dancing to the tune of the piper that's paying them, but that
no,
said,
I'm kidding.
No, yeah, right. But that said, I think we need these conversations more. But I still have not heard, and we're just flat out of time. We have hard breaks here, and I know any minute now the machine is going to start and it's going to step on both of us. But I haven't heard any country where this has worked. Can you name one?
Where we actually have had an unregulated health insurance market?
Or where your idea of a health insurance market that's run by for-profit corporations has succeeded?
When for-profit corporations can actually compete with each other, you have variations.
Has it
that
ever worked in any country?
Well, without any regulation of the for-profit insurers?
No, whatever qualifications you want to put on it, has your ideal been tried ever anywhere?
You have to tell me. I mean, I don't know how you're defining it, Tom.
Well, I would think that you'd be able to say, okay, here, Sweden, take a look at what they, Nicaragua, they did it.
Switzerland is run largely by corporations. I mean, the health insurance market is run largely by a regulated system of corporations.
Okay, Arthur Brooks. Hang on just a second, Arthur.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
The new book is The Road to Freedom. He's the president of the American Enterprise Institute, AEI.org. Arthur, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Tom.
Good talking with you. We'll be back.